Hey folks, my name is Tom, one of the two personalities who host SSR. Before we get on with the show, I would just like to tell you guys we are currently accumulating both money and resources to construct a future fan site for Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium. If you want to be a part of this flourishing community, I suggest you subscribe. We're going to have forums, social utilities connected to the site. It's of course going to be another news venue, and of course the home of our new podcast, Sargos Sector Radio. So if you subscribe when we release the news, which will be on a podcast episode, you'll be notified because you are subscribed, and then you can register on the website and become a part of the forums and interaction with other players who are looking forward to this MMORPG as well. So, without further ado, Frank, you're an orc. You're the orc ringleader. Get you and the other orcs ready, because this person listening right now, whoever you may be, wherever you are, is ready to talk about Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium. Lady or gentleman, welcome to the first episode of Sargos Sector Radio. And here we go. Frank, take it away.
If you say so.
Put your backs in it, boys!
Here we go!
You're listening to SSR.
Whoa!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the new podcast for the upcoming game, Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium, the MMORPG that is being developed by Vigil Games. You are listening to the new podcast called SSR, or as some people call it,
Sargos Sector Radio.
Heyo.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Dude, how are you doing, man? How's the White Mountain Apache doing this evening?
I'm doing phenomenally awesome. Thank you for asking.
How's the weather in Arizona, man? Is it sunny?
Dude, the weather rocks. The weather is like, I don't know, 80 degrees and a nice breeze. Dry air, which is awesome compared to the humidity you can get in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But
yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, yeah. How you been? What have you been up to, Tom?
Dude, I'm actually on spring break right now. I'm down in Clearwater, Florida. Weather was just glorious. 85 degrees and sunny compared to my home in Michigan. Wow, this weather just blows it away. Michigan has had a horrible winter, man. It was terrible. I've had 7 snow days and I'm in college. What a joke.
Usually they make you guys push through that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, risk certain death.
Yeah, it's just been terrible, man. The roads have been icy consistently over the past couple months, and you know, down here it's just a weather shock. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Well, Tom, at least back home for you is consistent. There, you hate to get thrown for a loop.
Yeah, yeah, yep. That's right, man. So, dude, since this is the first episode of our new podcast, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what games you like. You know what got you into liking MMORPGs, and sort of tell us what you're hoping for this game.
A little bit about myself, Tom? Well, guys, folks out there in the awesome world of Earth, My name's Aaron G. Thompson, and I actually got into MMORPGs, starting with The Realm. The Realm is a 2D side-scrolling MMORPG that was about, released in the mid-90s. And it was kind of epic. If there's too many people on the next screen you had to get to, you had to wait until someone left so you could enter that screen so you could progress to the forest to actually have battle with the kind of the turn-based fighting. But hey, that was okay. I moved on from UO from there, Ultima Online, which was awesome. The ownership in UO was phenomenal. You got to have your own tower, house, castle, whatever the case may be. The fun of UO, I guess, was that it was super hardcore. If you died, you lost everything. totally, dude. Like, Tom, seriously, you lost, like, if you had your key to your house, boom, that's gone. You probably lost your house. They can even chop up your body and give your head to like a guard in case you had a bounty on you.
extreme death penalties, man. We've lightened up a little bit.
I nerd raged so much on that game, but I of course progressed through the MMO RPG genre through Quest for Camelot, and there was what other game? Eve, I got into. Of course, World of Warcraft. And a lot of betas. I was in Shadowbane as well. I just enjoy, Tom, I enjoy the MMORPG genre. And of course, on the side, I like theater. I used to teach and work professionally a few years back, and I do want to get right back into that sort of entertainment. But as of now, I get the pleasure of doing an awesome show on the Dark Millennium Online, Warhammer 4000, with Tom.
Yeah, dude.
So,
for sure.
Hey, Tom.
Living the dream.
Living the dream, buddy. Speaking of living the dream, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, folks, my name is Tom Powers. You know, I guess you could say that MMORPGs aren't a hobby of mine. They are more of a passion. Or, you know, I would go as far to say it's a fetish to my life. I love massively multiplayer online games. I think the whole social concept is fascinating. You know, I used to be a console gamer, and I used to play Xbox Live, and I'm not hating on all the Xbox Live players when I say this, but I got tired of the immaturity, and Xbox Live is just a ridiculous sometimes social atmosphere, and I just got it. There's a lot of players who just don't have the same level of maturity or social commitment on Xbox Live, and that's fine. I'm not saying all don't, but
how mature of you, by the way? How mature of you?
Yeah,
throwing that out there.
So I guess I started playing MMORPGs. I've played World of Warcraft, Eve Online, Warhammer Online, Dark Age of Camelot. I've played betas, Champions. You know, I've played the big ones, the successful ones, well, even the non-successful ones, Warhammer Online, and so I'm starting to do this podcast. The first podcast I did was the Warcast. It was on Warhammer Online, and everything was going good, but then Warhammer Online just failed, and started to deplete subscribers, and it was just a dying community. And it's the community. There is still a community, but it's nothing like it was at launch. And I'm now doing a podcast on the upcoming MMORPG Star Wars: The Old Republic called Tor Talk, and we love doing that show. And I'm hoping to have the same enjoyment in doing this show as well, because I think Star Wars: The Old Republic and Warhammer Online, or not Warhammer Online, Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium are going to be two awesome games that are coming out in the future.
Oh, totally agree, Tom. And I gotta say, I totally said I used to play Quest for Camelot. What the heck's Quest for Camelot? I meant Dark Age of Camelot.
Which, isn't that said, a movie?
I don't know. Like I took like a pause after the Quest for Camelot.
I'm pretty sure that's a cartoon or something, man.
Maybe an old video game, I think.
Quest for like, Camelot. I don't know.
I don't know. Gosh, if you know, go ahead and.
Yeah, send us an email.
Something if you could find a copy for us.
Yeah, so but, yeah, for sure. So, folks, that's a little bit about ourselves. Don't worry, we're not gonna take this long to get onto an episode in the future. But because this is the first episode, we find it fitting that you know a little bit about your two hosts that you might be listening to for the next few years.
30 years,
yeah.
30, right? That's about
forever.
Average.
Forever.
Podcast listening forever.
Yeah.
You will listen to us in your deathbed.
Exactly. So, the first episode, we're going to talk about the first trailer that we've seen for this upcoming game, and that was at E3 this past summer. And first things first, a lot of people were confused if whether or not this game is an MMORPG or just an MMO. A lot of people are speculating that it's a third-person shooter. Some people are think that there might not be any RPG aspect in it whatsoever. And we can only speculate now because we know so little about the video game. But Aaron G. Thompson, first impressions on that trailer that we saw this past summer, what do you think? Does the game appeal to you? How does it appeal to you?
Dude, it's awesome. It's a mixture of fantasy and future. You're seeing kind of metal soldiers shooting, but you get kind of a magic look and a magic feel as well. Giant robots. It looks like it has the potential to be a third person, but I'll be honest with you, with the trailer, it looks like your standard MMO or MMORPG, whatever you want to call it. It looks awesome. The graphics look refreshing. Once again, they use that stylized look. And as I know me and you spoke, Tom, a little bit off the show about the Uncanny Valley. For those of you who are not familiar with the Uncanny Valley, it's basically in video game terms, actually in real life terms as well. So when you see a nice little robot that someone made, you know, you see its mechanical arms and everything, it looks adorable. It has human qualities. As that progresses to photorealism, which we are not at, that robot that looks like a mannequin that moves its head and talks looks creepy. Nightmarish, almost. The Uncanny Valley is right there in that nightmare zone. So as you make something look more real and real and real, it goes up, 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 up. Then you make it almost look too real. You hit that valley, and then we're back at photorealism, which pops it right back up. Because people like to see things that are photorealism or things that represent human characteristics or qualities. And the reason I gave you the whole uncanny spiel of the Uncanny Valley was because I enjoy the stylized art format. It would be silly for them to go to photorealism because it would look goofy. So, yeah, the game looks like it's going to be stellar. I cannot wait for it to actually, before it even gets released, I can't wait to know more information on it, get more videos, get more pictures,
yeah.
Hear more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I totally agree. I totally agree, and I think that's one reason why World of Warcraft is still a huge pinnacle.
Absolutely.
Because they did the cartoony-ish route with their graphics, they were able to make themselves last longer. Because back in 2004, photorealistic games aren't nothing. They were nothing like they are today. And a lot of games that do try to aim for the photorealistic graphical feel sort of end up coming out like Final Fantasy 14, and it just doesn't look right. It looks, I don't know. The cartoony feel helps totally immerse you in the setting. So I definitely agree, man. Looking at that trailer, we saw vehicles. We saw the giant mech thing, and these are obviously vehicles. And the characters we saw in the trailer, we saw Marines. I don't know what branch of Space Marines they are. They looked like Ultramarines. But it's cool to see, you know, all these models and vehicles that we've seen from the Warhammer tabletop gaming. That whole genre from Wizards of the Coast and Games Workshop just put on screen. It's so cool. And the whole fact that we might be able to have online these large-scale battles that we only imagined when we were playing this tabletop game, it's awesome. It's going to be...
Totally.
It's going to be sweet.
Hey, and Tom, I don't mean to interrupt you there, but I... also noticed something by viewing the video. At one point during the battle, you actually see a ship come down and drop off supplies. How awesome is that?
So
I mean,
sweet.
Would that be something that you could maybe control by push of a button, or maybe your guild has to get together, build up whatever they need, or your clan, or whatever they're going to call on this, and build up what you need to have those supplies drop by? Or does this just happen randomly spawn? It was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I know, man. We can only speculate. We've seen these motorcycle-esque vehicles. We've seen the tanks. We've seen the little chopper backpack, vehicle. We've seen actually like a helicopter flying around. Who knows if we are going to be able to even control these? I highly doubt we won't be able to once the game does come out. But the whole vehicle aspect of this MMO RPG that's coming out is huge. And it's huge because these vehicles are more than just player mounts. They're part of the combat. They're part of the PvP, the PvE. They're all part of the fighting sequence, which is a huge twist.
It's going to be intense, dude. Totally.
Yeah, we don't know that much about the game. There's so much little information we know. And that's going to be probably one of the biggest joys of doing this podcast, is we'll be able to speculate and see, you know, what does come true and what is totally false. And that's rewarding. But looking at this trailer, we have confirmation so far that we are going to be able to play as the Imperium of Man is going to be a faction in this game. But in this trailer, we see the Imperium of Man, we see orcs, we see chaos, we see all types of characters, models from more than two factions. So Aaron, do you think that this game is going to be a two-factioned game? Do you think we are going to have to only have the choice of two factions like we do on World of Warcraft, or do you think it could be like Dark Age of Camelot where there's more than two factions?
Well, I know most standard MMOs nowadays, they go with the two factions. I think it's easier for that company to manage what goes on, to balance everything, whatever the case may be, because if you have multiple factions, you almost have to balance against a couple different sources, which could very well work. And multiple factions is truly where the MMO future needs to go. Everyone's skipping that, or they're dodging that because they see World of Warcraft and how that works, and they want to take that style of a double faction, and just keep moving that and pushing that forward, which is great for those games that do try it. But this is a good contender to have another multiple faction game. Do I believe that there's going to be more than two factions on launch? No, I don't. There's probably just going to be order and destruction.
Wow.
Whatever the case may be.
Wow. That's pretty harsh, buddy.
In future expansions, yeah, I could see them pushing that. Of course, we're talking about future expansions on a game that we don't really know that much about thus far. But from the information that I have, it doesn't seem like it's going to be multiple factions. It would be awesome, but nah. What do you think, Tom?
Well, no, dude. You know, I think if they don't do multiple factions, I think if Vigil Games does not implement the choice of being, you know, what they can do is what Warhammer Online did. And I don't think Warhammer Online did it the right way. The Warhammer Online, what they did was they did the Forces of Destruction and they did the Forces of Order. And in Warhammer 40,000, you got all these different types of races. You got the Imperium of Man, you got the Orcs, you have the Eldar, you know, you have the Tau Empire. There's so many. There's a handful of different races, and according to the Games Workshop lore, there is no alliance between these factions. But what Warhammer Online did is they got the Dark Elves, and got the Orcs, they got the Chaos, which were like the men, evil men, and they just put them all on one side and aligned them all as one alliance. And called them destruction. Stamped destruction.
Destruction!
And then they did the same with the Order factions. Empire, High Elves, and the Dwarves. And they just stamped that order. And you know, they could do that. They could do that for this game. I hope they don't, because if you look at Dark Age of Camelot, I think this is just a perfect example of how PvP between your enemy faction was not just PvP. It was, you had a pride in patriotism with your faction because there's more than two factions. I remember in Dark Age of Camelot, sometimes one faction and the other faction would work together to gang up on that third faction because that third faction was monopolizing the realm in whatever way it may be. And there was so much betrayal, and there was so much, there was like treaties, and oh, it was insane. It was insane. I remember on Dark Age of Camelot, we would have like the guild leaders from the other faction, they would come on our vent server and conspire with the guild leaders of our faction, and they would be like, okay, we're going to have an armistice between our two factions. Let's take out this other faction. And hundreds of players from both sides would just ransack this poor, lonesome faction. And then after that happened, we would fight. Because who's going to be the king of the hill now? There's two factions. It was just insane. It adds a whole different aspect to the game. It makes it more intense and unpredictable.
That'd be just awesome if they do implement that. I mean, I would like to see that, but I don't see them yet going for multiple factions. Wow, if they do that though, just as you stated, it would bring a whole new style of PvP, style of gameplay. Because yeah, you're right, you're gonna have betrayal, you're gonna have alliances. It will be awesome to see what they can do with their clans or guilds. I'm not sure what they would. What do you think they will call them in Warhammer 4000? I think they're gonna be guilds. Yeah, maybe. Or clans.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably guilds. You know, if it's an MMORPG, they're gonna try.
Yeah, you probably got a point there.
Appeal to the MMO gamers, so we'll call it guilds. Keep it universal. But I hope they do multiple factions. I really do. I think that it adds so much more strategy to the PvP game. And I have no idea if Vigil Games is going to sort of implement an RVR aspect inspired by the original creators of RVR, Realm versus Realm, gameplay that Mythic created. But if they do, that would be awesome. Just if they had, it would just be sweet. So, Aaron, now that we got our faction, you know, speculation and hopes.
Yes.
Hopes. Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with you. I don't think that there will be more than two factions in the game.
You better not disagree with me.
Yeah.
I'll give you black licorice, and no one wants that.
Yeah, man.
That's not slang for anything.
But a lot of people are wondering, Warhammer 40,000 is about just armies just clashing with other armies, just thousands fighting thousands. And a lot of people are wondering how questing in this game is going to be consistent with the story in the Warhammer 40,000 universe. And, you know, are you going to quest by yourself? It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't really make sense. It's it's bodies of players working together, not people soloing and trying to get their character up. Go ahead.
You know, I was about to say, you bring up a good point. They're going to have to utilize a whole, I don't know, familiar slash different form of questing or community support, whatever the case may be. Now, there's two really popular MMORPGs coming out. And might I say, we've got Guild Wars 2 and Star Wars of the Old Republic. Both of them have different ways to quest. You've got heavy story in each of those MMOs, so I could see the Warhammer 4000 utilizing that aspect and really digging into some good story. But also, the Guild Wars 2, they have, I can't remember what they call their big world quests that just basically progress as groups of people get in there. It starts phasing and different scenarios start unlocking, and you really just take it to the area. But then you go back to the Star Wars The Old Republic style of questing, and it's fast-paced, hugely story-driven, just action-oriented. If they combine both of those style of questing, of group socializing, then I think it's going to be a win, man. I think they can really take on the competitors, or at least be its own standalone entity where, hey, I want to do this game. The other games are great, but I want to do this game because it does that. You know? Yeah. So I think it can utilize maybe some of that. You walk into an area, something's happening, all of a sudden deep story gets in there, and you just push your way through phases with groups of people, and that's kind of how that questing is going to go. Instead of your standard, let's look at a wall of text and move on to deliver these linens to old man Stinky Bottom. Whatever, that's a name, right?
Yeah,
that's,
yeah. And I know done that and I know this issue, this was less of an issue with Warhammer Online, but Mythic implemented the public questing system into Warhammer Online. And what that is when a bunch of players would walk into this public quest vicinity on the map. And there would be a timer running. And once the timer reset, all the mobs would appear for the quest. And you guys work together. You guys didn't need to be manually put into a party. If you guys were in the vicinity, you were contributing to each other's experience. And you were also, your actions was contributing to the role for your loot once the public quest was completed. However, this didn't work because Mythic screwed up. Well, this was one of the many things that screwed up Warhammer Online is they had bind on pickup. not bind on equip, bind on pickup. And that was an issue with picking up items because sometimes the items weren't compatible with your class's gear. You know, why would a warrior be wearing a mage, freaking mage's cloak? It didn't make sense. Another reason is because this public questing, the experience was so little when you went into a public quest. There was no incentive to do it. So what I'm saying is Vigil Games needs to figure out a convenient, innovative, and ultimate good way into maybe getting bodies of players to work together in this game. And I think phasing is a beautiful, beautiful example of how that can work.
I love phasing. Phasing's so awesome, and not necessarily like just building phasing, but actually phasing distortion of the environment, you know, around. Just really progressing that story and that group of people that are doing that phased area. It can, you know, don't phase everything, but some parts phase. I like phasing. So yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, and even if you look at the new MMORPG Rift, when rifts open, players on servers are forced to work together to close them so they don't escalate into invasions. So if they put things in this game where players are almost forced to work together and overcome these hardships and inconveniences, then that would be huge. That would be a huge, I think, positive aspect to
that,
accelerating your, you know, your level of your character.
Absolutely. 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 That'd be cool to really see them, utilize the feature and really gather groups of people. I mean, that's what MMOs are about.
That's right. Yeah.
I like the solo play, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. They're the community. The community makes MMOs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just a couple things. If you watch the video, if you've still in some... There's times where you can pause the video and you can see a player HUD on the screen. You can see an avatar on the top left-hand corner of the character. It says level 30, and then below, the bottom of the screen are action bars with a handful of abilities on there. So I think it is going to be an MMORPG. Those of you who think it's just going to be a third-person shooter like Gears of War or Gears of War 2, I'm pretty sure you're mistaken. There is going to definitely be an RPG aspect to this game, especially if there's a 3-0 next to the avatar. I'm pretty sure you're going to have to level your character. Who knows how... Maybe the leveling system will be that of, you know, leveling like on Call of Duty. You know, I hope it's not. I hope it's not where you get so many kills each round and you get experience from only kills. I hope there's other aspects that you can gain experience in this game.
But no, absolutely. I totally think they should utilize different, unique ways to truly gain experience that, you know, maybe other games have done but haven't quite perfected. And I don't know, maybe gain experience by healing, just doing a single heal or something, you know, or even resurrecting and just doing like little things, again, little bits of experience might be a fun way. I would like to see, be honest with you, I would like to see some actual skill-based leveling instead of just a typical standard leveling, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Kind of explain to you a little bit. The skill base is basically you use, say, your rifle, your laser gun, your axe, whatever the case may be, over and over again, you're building that skill slowly. And then... you're getting really good at using that item. Of course, we know the leveling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 progressive level scheme is the standard of what everyone's used to. And honestly, they'll probably go with that. But I would like to see a little bit of the actual skill-based leveling. I think that'll kind of take a twist and make it a little bit different if they can do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. So something new that we've just recently learned this past week is, well, Aaron, how about you share how much money is being put into this game thus far?
Well, Tom, thus far, this beast, this bad boy is putting down or has put down $50 million.
Wow.
That's huge, Tom.
That's pretty big.
That's a serious game right there. Not too many games go nearly that high. I know a lot of the big dogs, of course, make it past that before MMORPGs. From my knowledge base, there's only one game that's went above that. But there's a lot of MMORPGs out there. For this game to be putting down that much money, they're going to be a player in the MMO world.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see.
And that's only like currently. You know
yeah, exactly.
we just heard about this game. It was unveiled to us like officially this past E3. So it is the beginning of this game. We're at the beginning. You know, it was just officially announced. You know, they're starting to get their stuff together. I mean, this could rise. And right now it's at $50 million. That is huge.
Huge.
It's a big deal, folks. Big deal. Big deal. I know a lot of people sort of get uneasy when MMOs invest large sum of money into their games because people look at Warhammer Online. And I don't think that game still has made a profit. I'm dead serious.
You're totally right. Totally right.
That, you know that game had 500,000 copies of the game sold in the first month. Okay. But the subscriptions declined by thousands. The servers were closed. They used to have over 60 Warhammer Online servers. Now they're down to 2. I mean, this is just, you know, Warhammer Online just, man, they're dying. They're already dead, I would go as far to say. Well,
the funny thing is everyone, they truly have to compete with the giant that's out there right now, World of Warcraft. You guys might have heard of it. It's a little game that makes a lot of money.
Only it's 12 million subscribers, you know.
Yeah, you might have heard of it if you're into MMOs. But whether you love it or hate it, it's a good game. That's the reality of it. And the developers want to compete with that. The issue is WoW has had plenty of time to progress their game, to put money in their game. Yeah, they put a pretty penny down right away, but not as much as what people have to put in their games nowadays just to compete with the features that WoW has. And maybe that's why we are seeing such a big amount of money spent on this so far, because they understand they got to compete with the giant, or they got to compete with the up-and-coming giants. Games that don't... For instance, I'll give you kind of an example. Shadowband, I mentioned it earlier. I played it for a while. Good game. Great lore. Great idea. Awesome. Awesome idea. Well, the first game that I actually saw flying in, one of the races could fly, which was awesome. It was a race that they had. Well, that game, that company had like $12, I swear. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they had like no cash. As good of a game as that could have been, they didn't have enough money to back that up, and that fell hard. That's why a lot of games... That's what happens to a lot of games nowadays. They just don't have enough backing to keep up with the big dogs, and they just crash and burn. But if you start off with a deep pocket, And you know,
THQ, publisher of this.
Oh, THQ is phenomenal to begin with. So of course they're going to throw some bucks out there. And yeah, they can make it happen. They know they have to put that money out there to compete. It's a competition, whether people like it or not. It could be completely different genres, sci-fi and fantasy or whatever the case may be. But the reality is they're competing with MMORPGs.
Yeah.
THQ is such an awesome company.
So, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for our first episode. Thank you for listening. We are going to have this podcast is a work in progress, to say the least. To say the least.
I thought I was getting paid for this. Wait a second.
But we are going to have an official website up. We're going to get feeds up on all the social utilities, Twitter, Facebook. You know how it goes. But we want to become an official fan site / podcast for this upcoming Dark Millennium community. So thank you for listening to the show. We plan on doing a weekly episode. So this week, this is the episode. Next week, you'll get another bad boy. And the following week, you'll get another bad boy.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Can I join you, Tom?
That's right, buddy. So folks, just a heads up, the intro we had that was extensive was just a preamble, so you know who Aaron and I are. It's not going to be like that every episode. We'll definitely be diving into the latest news. And information.
Just the first three episodes, that's it. Just the first three.
God. Yeah, he's just pulling your leg, folks. But
there's a story I have to say when I was seven.
But yeah, that's the deal, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Take care, guys.
Hey, have a good one, guys.
Lying 7-5, we sharing each other.